Ow! It's...
Monty Python's Flying Circus.
Finished in there yet?
Dear sir, I object strongly to the obvious lavatorial turn this show has already taken. Why do we never hear about the good things in Britain, like Mary Bignall's wonderful jump in 1964? Yours, etc., Ken Boyer.
Dear sir, I object strongly to the obvious athletic turn this show has now taken. Why can't we hear more about the human body? There is nothing embarrassing or nasty about the human body, except for the intestines and bits of the bottom.
Dear sir, I object strongly to the letters on your program. They are clearly not written by the general public and are merely included for a cheap laugh. Yours, etc., William Nickers.
I too take strong exception to this resurgence of cheap jokes about poo-poos. Mr. Voyeur's letter stated very... excuse me. As I was saying, the letter previously read made quite clear the view of a great majority...
...1348. The Black Death. Typhus. Cholera. Consumption. Bubonic plague.
Oh, those were the days.
Now, I'm not prepared to go on with this unless these interruptions cease. All right? Right.
The devastating effect of these...
No, don't follow me. And don't zoom in on me. No, I'm off. I'm off. That's it. That's all. I'm off.
Are you nervy, irritable, depressed, tired of life? Keep it up.
This house is surrounded. I'm afraid I must not ask anyone to leave the room. No, I must ask nobody. No, I must ask everybody to... I must not ask anyone to leave the room. No one must be asked by me to leave room. No, no one must ask the room to leave. I ask the room, shall by someone be left? Not. Ask nobody the room, somebody leave, shall I? Shall I leave the room? Everyone must leave the room as it is with them in it. Understand?
You don't want anybody to leave the room.
Now, I'll deuce me to intranow myself. I'm sorry. Now, self me to my deuce, intra me to lose my lao. Al me to you, intra self my. Excuse me a moment. Allow me to introduce myself. I'm afraid I must ask that no one leave the room. Allow me to introduce myself. I'm Inspector Tiger.
Tiger?
Where? Where? Me, Tiger. You, Jay. Beg your pardon. Allow me to introduce myself. I'm afraid I must ask that no one leave the room.
Why not?
Elementary. Since the body was found in this room, no one has left it. Therefore, the murderer must be somebody in this room.
What body?
Somebody. In this room must the murderer be. The murderer of the body is somebody in this room, which nobody must leave. Leave the body in the room, not to be left by anybody. Nobody leaves anybody or the body with somebody. Anybody who is anybody shall leave the body in the room body. Take the tablets, Tiger. Anybody with a body but not the body is nobody. Nobody leaves the body in the body. I'll body me to enter body up.
Now for Sir Gerald.
That's better. Now, I'm Inspector Tiger, and I must ask that nobody leave the room. Now, someone has committed a murder here, and that murderer is someone in this room. The question is, who?
Look, there hasn't been a murder.
No murder? Oh. I don't like it. It's too simple, too clear-cut. I better wait. No, too simple, too clear-cut.
My Jove, he was right.
This house is surrounded. I must ask that no one leave the room. I'm Chief Superintendent Lookout.
Lookout?
What?
Where?
Me. Lookout. Lookout of the yard.
Why, what would we see?
Sorry?
Well, what would we see if we look out of the yard?
I'm afraid I don't follow that at all. Aha! The body. So, the murderer must be somebody in this room. Unless he had very long arms. I'd say 30 or 40 feet. I think we can discount that one. Look out of the yard. Very good. Right. Now we'll reconstruct the crime. I'll sit down here. Constable, you turn off the lights. Good. Now then, there was a scream. Ah! Then just before the lights went up, there was a shot.
Oh, high tide, the house is surrounded, and nobody leave the room and all the rest of it. Allow me to introduce myself. I'm Assistant Chief Constable. There's a man behind you.
There's a man behind you.
You're not going to catch me with an old one like that. Right, let's reconstruct the crime. Constable, you'll be Inspector Tiger.
Right, sir. Nobody leave the room, I shall. Somebody, I leave nobody in the room, buddy. Shall take the tablets, Tiger, buddy. I'll self-meet my duty.
Very good.
Very
good. Sit down there.
Thank you,
sir. Right. Now, we'll pretend the lights have gone out. Constable, you scream.
Ah!
Somebody shoots you. And the door opens.
Nobody move. I am Chief Constable Fire.
Fire? Fire?
Where?
We're interrupting this sketch, but we'll be bringing you back the moment anything interesting happens. Meanwhile, here are some friends of mine.
Dear sir, I'm sorry this letter is late. It should have come at the beginning of the program.
Yours, Ivor Bigbody, age 2.
From the plastic arts, we turn to football. Last night, in the Stadium of Light, Jarrow, we witnessed the resuscitation of a great footballing tradition when Jarrow United came of age in a European sense with an almost Proustian display of modern existentialist football, virtually annihilating by midfield moral argument the now surely obsolescent Catenaccio defensive philosophy of Signor Alberto Fanfrino. Bologna indeed were a side intellectually out-argued by a Jarrow team thrusting and bursting with aggressive Kantian positivism, and outstanding in this fine Jarrow team was my man of the match, the arch-thinker, free-scheming, scarcely ever to be curbed, midfield cognoscento, Jimmy Buzzard. Jimmy, at least one ageing football commentator was gladdened last night by the sight of an English footballer breaking free of the limpid tentacles of packed Mediterranean defence.
Good evening, Bourne.
Were you surprised at the way the Italians ceded midfield dominance so early on in the game?
Well, Bourne. I'm opening a boutique.
This is, of course, symptomatic of a new breed of footballer, as it is indeed symptomatic of your whole genre of player, is it not?
Good evening, Bourne.
What I'm getting at, Jimmy, is you seem to have discovered a new concept of the mode with which you dissected the Italian defence last night.
I hit the ball first time, and there it was in the back of the net.
Do you think Jarrow will adopt a more defensive posture for the first leg of the next tie in Turkey?
I hit the ball first time, and there it was in the back of the net.
Yes, but have you any plans for dealing with the free-scoring Turkish forwards?
Well, Brian. I'm opening a boutique.
And now, let's take a look at the state of play in the detective sketch.
Ourself, me, to intralo my body.
Crawling over us the whole time. You need to take all the opportunities you can get, dear. Unlike some people I can mention, I'm quite happily married, thank you. Yes, I've cleaned you up and tethered up in the garden.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to yet another edition of Interesting People. And my first interesting person tonight is the highly interesting Mr. Howard Stools from Kendal in Westmorland. Good evening, Mr. Stools.
Hello, David.
Mr. Stools, what makes you particularly interesting?
Well, I'm only half an inch long.
Well, that's extremely interesting. Thank you for coming along on the show tonight, Mr. Stools.
Don't you think that was interesting, David? It was fun.
Mr. Howard Stools from Kendal in Westmorland, half an inch long. Our next guest tonight's come all the way from Egypt. He's just flown into London today. He's Mr. Ali Bayan. He's with us in the studio tonight, and he's stark raving mad. Mr. Ali Bayan, stark raving mad. Now it's time for our music spot, and we turn the spotlight tonight on the Rachel Toovey Bicycle Choir. With their fantastic arrangement of Men of Harlech for Bicycle Bells Only.
Keep my baby, no will betide thee all through.
the Rachel Toovey Bicycle Choir. Really interesting. Remember, if you're interesting and want to appear on this programme, write your name and address on your telephone number and send it to this address. The BBC, care of EF Lutt, 18 Rupee Buildings, West 12. Thank you, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Now here's an interesting person. Apart from being a full-time stapling machine, he can also give a cat influenza. You can't get much more interesting than that, or can you? With me now, is Mr. Thomas Walters of West Hartlepool, who is totally invisible. Good evening, Mr. Walters.
Over here, Huey.
Mr. Walters, are you sure you're invisible?
Oh, yes, most certainly.
Well, Mr. Walters, what's it like being invisible?
Well, for a start, at the office where I work, I can be sitting at my desk all day and the others totally ignore me. At home, even though we are in the same room, my wife does not speak to me for hours. People pass me by in the street without a glance in my direction, and I can walk into a room without...
Well, whilst we got interesting people, we met Mr. Oliver Cavendish, who...
Even now, you yourself do hardly notice
Mr. Walter Cavendish of Leicester, who claimed to be able to recite the entire Bible in 1 second whilst being struck on the head with a large axe. Oh, wow. We've since discovered that he was a fraud. He did not... Yes, a fraud. He did not, in fact, recite the entire Bible. He merely recited the first two words in the... before his death.
And now it's time for interesting sport. And this week it's All In Cricket, live from the Municipal Baths, Croydon.
Great, great. With me now is Mr. Ken Dove, twice voted most interesting man in Dorking. Ken, I believe you're interested in shouting.
Yes, I'm interested in shouting, all right! By Jove, you certainly hit the nail on the head with that particular observation of yours then!
What does your wife think of this?
I agree with him!
Shut up!
At parties, for instance, people never come up to me. I just sit there and everybody totally...
Now, that is Tibbles, I believe.
Yes, this is Tibbles.
Yeah, and what does she do?
She flies across the studio and lands in a bucket of water.
By herself?
No, I fling her.
Well, that's extremely interesting. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Don Savage and Tibbles...
Oh, I'm more interesting than a wet pussycat!
Yes, great. Well, now, for the first time on television, Interesting People brings you a man who claims he can send bricks to sleep by hypnosis. Mr. Keith, maniac from Guatemala.
Good evening.
Keith, you claim you can send bricks to sleep.
Yes, that is correct, I can.
Entirely by hypnosis.
Yes, I use no artificial means whatsoever.
You injured Mr. Stalls!
I simply stare at the brick and it goes to sleep.
Well, we have a brick here. Keith, perhaps you could send it to sleep for us.
Oh, well, I'm afraid that is already asleep. It's not moving.
Oh, I see. Have we got a moving brick? Yes, we've got a moving brick. Keith, it's coming over now.
How fast asleep?
Very good. Very good indeed.
Yes, it's all done with the eyes.
Yes, Mr. Keith Maniac from Guatemala.
Mr. Stalls! Speak to me, Howard!
And now, four tired undertakers.
Thank you.
Interrupting this to take you back very quickly to the Jimmy Buzzard interview where we understand something exciting's just happened.
I've fallen off my chair, Brian.
I apologise for that, but I think you'll find this a bit more interesting.
Good evening. Tonight, I want to examine the whole question of 18th century social legislation, its relevance to the hierarchical structure of post-Renaissance society, and its impact on the future of parochial organization in an expanding agrarian economy. But first, a bit of fun. To put England's social legislation in a European context is Professor Gert van der Whoops of the Rijksmuseum in The Hague.
In Holland, in the early part of the 15th century, there were three things important to social legislation. One, rise of merchant classes. Two, urbanization of craft guilds. Three, declining moral values in age of increasing social betterment. But first, a bit of fun.
Don't
now Professor R.J. Kenning.
The cat sat on the mat. And now, the Battle of Trafalgar. Tonight, we examine popular views of this great battle. Was the Battle of Trafalgar fought in the Atlantic off southern Spain, or was it fought on dry land near Cudworth in Yorkshire? Here is one man who thinks it was.
And here is his friend. What makes you think the Battle of Trafalgar was fought near Cudworth?
Because Drake was too clever for the German fleet.
I beg your pardon?
I've forgotten what I said now.
Mr. Gumby's remarkable views have sparked off a wave of controversy amongst his fellow historians.
Well, I think we should reappraise our concept of the Battle of Trafalgar.
Well, I agree with everything Mr. Gumby said.
I think cement is more interesting than people think.
One subject, four different views. 12 and 6 in a plain wrapper.
The stuff of history is indeed woven in the woof. Pearl Harbor. There are pages in history's book which are written on the grand scale. Events so momentous that they dwarf man and time alike. And such was the Battle of Pearl Harbor, reenacted for us now by the women of the Batley Townswomen's Guild.
Miss Rita Fairbanks, you organised this reconstruction of the Battle of Pearl Harbor. Why?
Well, we've always been extremely interested in modern drama. We were, of course, the first Townswomen's Guild to perform Camp on Blood Island. And last year, of course, we did our extremely popular reenactment of Nazi war atrocities. And so this year, we thought we'd like to do something in a lighter vein.
So you chose the Battle of Pearl Harbor.
Yes, that's right, we did.
Well, I can see you're all ready to go, so I'll just wish you good luck in your latest venture.
Thank you very much, young man.
Ladies and gentlemen, the World of History is proud to present the premiere of the Batley Townswomen's Guild reenactment of the Battle of Pearl Harbor.
Battle of Pearl Harbor. Incidentally, I'm sorry if I got a little bit shirty earlier on in the programme when I kept getting interrupted by all these films and things that kept coming in, but I...
We shall... Heretofore shall this soul be received unto thy mercy.
So I said, if it happened again, I'd get very angry and talk to Lord Hill, and...
Dear Lord Hill!